What's up, Mzanzi? Welcome to Farmers Inside Track, episode 395. I'm your host, Octavius Pandil. Ever wondered how farmers ensure their animals receive the right balance of nutrients? Well, our expert breaks down the essential requirements, discussing how supplementary feeding fills the nutritional gaps to support optimal health and productivity. In this episode, Espia Olivier, Sales and Marketing Specialist at Molitech, explores the intricacies of supplementary feeding and its crucial role in meeting the nutritional needs of livestock in winter. Espia, welcome to Farmers Inside Track. It's absolutely amazing to have you with us. Can you explain the nutritional requirements of livestock and how supplementary feeding meets those requirements?
The nutritional requirements, first of all, of livestock are the nutrients that's essential to maintain body condition, digestive requirements, and the life cycle of such animals. Livestock require certain quantities of roughage, protein, trace elements, vitamins, energy, and water, of course, in their diets. The main nutritional requirement that livestock cannot go without is clean drinking water and grass or felt and leaf and shrubs and trees for your browser species, which makes out the majority of their daily intake, or in some cases, the total dry matter intake. Depending on the age, of course, also milk for your unweaned animals or your suckling animals, and then to support the physical and economic production goals, we need to supplement to fill the nutritional shortfall between what is available in the specific natural environment, the goal that wants to be achieved in terms of yield or output. For example, a healthy calf every year weighing 40 to 45% of its mother's live weight at wean, in the case of cattle farming.
What factors should be considered when formulating a supplementary program for livestock?
Of course, the age, the weight, and stage of production of the animal versus the availability and quality of the natural resource on the farm. Availability, thus, of grass or natural forage, roughage. It is good practice to synchronize the highest nutritional demand of the animals, which in the case of a cattle farm will be late pregnancy and early lactation, with the period or season when the felt peaks in terms of yield and nutritional value, which would be in the summer rainfall region, spring and early summer, when the felt is green. By doing this, you will not only be more economical, but the animals will adapt and follow their natural cycle to give birth or to lamb when the natural resource or the felt can support their nutritional needs.
How do you determine the appropriate type and amount of supplementary feed for different types of livestock?
This is usually region-dependable and, once again, also dependable on the physiological needs of the relevant animals. Supplements will differ in the summer rainfall regions of the country versus the winter rainfall regions, for instance. Usually, when the natural felt is green and of a superior nutritional value, during the rainy season, we feed different supplements to the animals as to when the natural environment is dry and nutrient deficient, for instance. Cash crops and irrigated pastures will also influence the type and the amount fed of specific supplements. When you don't know, rather consult an animal nutritionist or a reputable registered feed supplier.
What are some common nutrients, not additives, used in supplementary feeding, and what are the purposes?
Now, the most common types of nutrients include sources of energy, which would be your sugars, starches, fat, and fibers. Macrominerals like sodium, calcium, chloride, magnesium, potassium, phosphorus, and sulfur. Microminerals like chromium, cobalt, copper, iodine, iron, manganese, molybdenum, selenium, and zinc. Of course, protein sources like rumen digestible protein, plant-based sources, and non-protein nitrogen or urea, as most of us knows it. And vitamins, of course, vitamin A, D, E, and B, for instance.
How do you ensure that supplementary feeding doesn't negatively impact the overall health and productivity of the livestock?
By following the adaptation recommendations of specific animal feed and using the right product at the right time for the relevant species of livestock. Also be wary of nutrient-deprived animals when starting to supplement. Animals not subjected to supplements previously may be nutrient-deficient or deprived and that can lead to salt hunger. That can in turn lead to elevated or gluttonous intake that can lead to bloat and even poisoning and ultimately to animal mortality.
Can you discuss the importance of balancing the energy, protein, vitamin and mineral content in supplementary feed formulations?
Animals being supplemented with feed or supplements that is not balanced will be subject to production losses, which is loss of income, health constraints, and challenges that might lead to loss of even more income and death in extreme cases. South African feed producers and farm feeds are governed by Act 36 of 1947, an Act on Fertilizers, Farm Feeds, Agricultural Remedies and Stock Remedies. It is thus very important to ensure feed supplements that are produced or bought for farm use comply to this Act. Every product should have a V number or a registration number, and that will be visible on the packaging itself or on the bag tag.
How do you assess the quality and nutritional value of supplementary feeds before incorporating them into a feeding program?
By buying registered products at a reputable supplier or manufacturer and getting to know the technical advisor or representative of such product in your area, at least. Most of these suppliers have recommendations for use and warnings on their product labels and packaging. Please read before you open the bag or just feed anything that you haven't done some reading on.
What strategies do you employ to minimize feed wastage and minimize feed efficiencies in supplementary feeding systems?
Feed wastage can't be afforded in today's economic climate. Everyone will agree. Numerous factors can lead to inefficient animals. Management practices to minimize losses and optimize performance can include, but may not be restricted to, the following. Make sure that you have enough feeding space, in other words, the trough space for relevant animals to eat at. Homogenic animal groups, that would be age and weight and same-sex group together, to avoid competition at the lick troughs or feed troughs or water points also for that matter. Protecting supplements against wind, weather and rain and following the correct storage guidelines. Do not make lick troughs too full, but rather feed smaller portions on a more regular basis. Ensure there are no mold buildup in the feed troughs and that they get adequate sunlight. If they don't get sunlight, clean them regularly at least to avoid the buildup of the mold. Make sure your water source is clean and cool and unpolluted or without algae in the case of water troughs. So it's highly recommendable to clean your water troughs regularly. Follow a veterinary animal health program. Healthy animals have better appetite and are also more productive and efficient and, of course, more resilient to disease. Management strategies will vary between different production systems. For instance, feedlotting versus natural grazing, and then your more intensive livestock production systems. Lick blocks can be convenient to manage and restrict losses due to the wastage because of its weather-resistant traits. And although it's not all of them, those will summarize some of the most important strategies to minimize wastage and maximize feed efficiency.
In what ways does the availability of pasture and forage affect the need for supplementary feeding?
I would say this is probably one of the most important factors to plan for. This coincides with the number of animals that a person farm with and the carrying capacity of the natural resource or piece of land that he farms on. Most farmers do not plan sufficiently for adequate grazing or roughage availability throughout the year, which results in them needing to buy more feeds, more licks, and even to buy in roughage at some stages. Adequate volume and quality of pasture will affect your supplementary feeding in a very big way, physically and financially. Extensive ruminant animals thrive on grass and pasture, as we've discussed earlier, and that makes out the majority of their daily intake. And this makes a big difference at the end of the day. A winter lick supplement, for example, makes out roughly only about 5% of the total dry matter intake of a mature cow. The rest of the animal's intake in an extensive system should be grass, which can amount to anything between 9 and 11 kilograms of dry grass per day for a livestock unit. These need to be bought at a cost, that roughage, and usually has not been planned for and can be detrimental to any livestock farmer.
And finally, how do environmental factors such as temperature, humidity and seasonality influence the design of supplementary feeding programs for livestock?
So this question has relevance to question 3 that we've handled already, but farming with well-adapted animals, certain breeds, for instance, to a specific region or climate will limit stress and production losses due to extreme temperatures and weather influences. So poorly maintained and stressed animals will be inclined to poorer immunity and a higher demand for supplemental feeding, for instance. Extreme high temperatures without shade and adequate cool drinking water can affect fertility and dry matter intake, whereas prolonged extreme low temperatures without enough shelter from the cold, wind and rain can result in negative energy balance, which in turn can cause animals to overeat in the feedlot scenario and die of bloat, or they can die altogether in extreme cases of these weather conditions.
Thanks so much, SP Olivier, Sales and Marketing Specialist at Marletech. For more on the topic, visit www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. From me, Octavius Bundel, our technical producer, Megan van der Ven, and the rest of the team, hashtag Team FoodformZanzi. Thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love FoodformZanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.